Good to hear some good stuff. You hear enough bad stuff. Like my brother said, you got to come here to get connected because you need to hear the words of the saints. You're needing to hear what God is doing in other lives. They overcame him through the blood of the Lamb, but also because of the word of their testimony. And our testimony is extremely important. Not just unto ourselves, but you're also letting the devil know, hey, here's a kick in the shorts. And besides that, then sharing with other people, because it encourages them. It encourages the body and the saints. Father, we're glad to be able to be here this morning to share in your presence. We truly have a desire that the Holy Spirit can move. To move in this congregation and upon the hearts of this people, Lord, but upon the hearts of many that are in lethargy, many that have gone the way of philosophy and men's thoughts, men's dreams, but we want your dreams, Lord. We want your thoughts. We want your ways to be our ways, not the ways of men. Thankful for your faithfulness and the truth of your word. Bless this morning in the name of Jesus. And they all said, amen. That was pretty good. As a preface this morning, I just need to explain a little bit of something. Particularly in the Old Testament, there's a lot of prophecy, a lot of books of the prophets. Some of the prophets were for exactly for that time, for that person, like when Nathan came to David and he said, hey, you're the man. You're the one that did the wrong thing. You're guilty. There's other prophecies that were a combination for then and for now. And yet other prophecies were specifically for the future. Quite a bit of what I'm going to talk today about is that one in the middle where the prophecies were for then and for that people, but they also were speaking down the road to us. So I want to start in Joel chapter 1, and we're just going to read a little bit here, verses 10 through 13. The field is wasted and the land mourneth, for the corn is wasted, the new wine is dried up, the oil languisheth. Be ye ashamed, O ye husbandmen. Howl, O ye vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. The vine is dried up, and the fig tree languishes. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Gird yourselves and lament, you priests. Howl, you ministers of the altar. Come lie at night in sackcloth, ye ministers of my God. For the meat offering and the drink offering is withholden from the house of your God. I want to explain some of this. We need to see this and understand that he was speaking to Israel at that time. But he's also speaking a lot of this has got to do with us right now. The field is wasted. What's the field? It's out there. It's the lost. It's the dying. It's the hurting. Those that are looking for answers in all the wrong places. The land mourns. You think this land is mourning? It's in great turmoil. The whole world languishes. It's all in a state of disrepair because of sin. It's all in this place where there's more and more confusion is laid upon the people. As the desire is to control and manipulate more and more, things get weirder and weirder. The corn is wasted. The fruit of the earth is wasted. The new wine, which is the Holy Spirit, it's dried up. There's a need for the Holy Spirit to be invited back into the presence of the church. Yes, there were times when there was some, you know, weirdness going on from time to time. People doing works of the flesh, things would get out of control. But in the process, we kicked him out completely. When I say we desire the Holy Spirit here. But when I'm saying we, I'm talking about the church in general. It's frustrated, the Holy Spirit. It's thwarted the work and the move of the Holy Spirit. It has been stifled. Therefore, the work of the Holy Spirit can't really work like it would desire to, because the people are afraid and are confused, and they listen to the work of the enemy, the words of the devil. It says you don't need that stuff. The Holy Spirit is just some obscure entity anyways, but it's the Holy Spirit that brings conviction. And without conviction, there can be no repentance. And without repentance, there is death. And within the body of Christ, there is such a necessity to invite again the Holy Spirit to move in our midst. There's been an abandonment. Be you ashamed, O you husbandmen. Who's that? It's all of us. All you that have ministry, it's not just the singers, not just the preachers, not just the teachers, but of all people, we have all been called to minister. Some have ministry of helps. Some have ministry of counsel. Others have a variety of ministries that should be working within the body of Christ. We need a lot of help here. We need those that can come and serve. Within a general body like this is probably one of the greatest needs that is out there. To be available and able to serve. A lot of people want to preach. They see that as a glorious thing. Boy, there's a lot of responsibility. A lot of responsibility in bringing forth the word of the Lord. Oh, you vine dressers, that's us. Because the wheat and the barley, and because the harvest and the field is perishing. It's perishing out there. The world is dying out there. It's needing Jesus. It's needing the work of the cross to be able to work in and through their lives on a daily basis, regularly functioning and keeping them alive. It's all over me and it's keeping me alive. Yes, it's all over me and it's keeping me alive. Keeping me alive, oh, it's keeping me alive. Yes, it's all over me and it's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. You need life. And the only answer is in Jesus. The only answer is in what that cross did, what he did on that cross and shedding his blood for us. It takes us through the daily battles. It takes us through the stuff of life. The vine's all dried up. Oh, the fig tree don't have a chance. The pomegranate. All these trees he speaks of the fruit are those things that are supposed to be producing fruit, but they're not. because the church body is in a state of lethargy. It's in a state where I'm comfortable. I feel good. I'm getting by. And pardon it, but to hell with the rest of the world. We have to get a burden for the lost, for those that have need, and it's the Holy Spirit that aids and guides and directs us in that direction. It says, gird yourself and lament, be sorrowful, repent, you priests. He's talking about a true place of repentance here. For the meat offering and the drink offering is withheld from the house of your God. Now, in the Old Testament, there were these two offerings that God required, the meat and the drink. They were doing it because of the law and those that Jesus contended with on a regular basis. We're at a place where they thought that they were really holy because they were keeping these things, but not having an understanding in their life what they really meant. But one day a covenant was going to come whereby the meat offering and the drink offering were going to be exemplified in the body and the blood of Jesus. And we sometimes take it in a lackadaisical manner. We know that there's churches out there that every time you go to church, you're going to take the sacrament. And it becomes a ritual. The purpose of the sacrament is to inspect our life, to look inside and to see what it is that's not pleasing unto God, and to repent, to take it to the cross. Again, we need it on a constant, everyday occurrence. Because the idiot Paul gets going off on his own rabbit trails. Sometimes he even goes down in the rabbit hole and gets all messed up. Anybody else been in that rabbit hole? And we have to have a source whereby we're able to gain the strength of the Lord, and the Holy Spirit is a large part of that function. And as I've shared before, when Christ died on the cross, it released many things. We know the veil was rent, and now we can go into the presence of the Father. But the Holy Spirit was given then the ability to indwell mankind and to begin to function in all the functions that the Holy Spirit was supposed to be functioning as. All the fruit of the Spirit, all the gifts of the Spirit need to be functioning, and they're not. Let's go to Joel chapter 2 and verses 23 through 24. Joel is going to talk about the first and the latter rain. This is an important concept within the Word of God because it's also spoken about in Jeremiah, Hosea, Deuteronomy, Job, Proverbs, Zechariah, and James. You see it once, it's like, oh, that's a nice idea. Twice, oh, this might be interesting. You see it more than that, you better pay attention because the Holy Spirit is trying to say something. Verses 23 and 4, be glad then, O ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. Particularly those that are involved in agriculture understand this concept. Needing a rain early, because you're making a planting, now you're trying to foster that seed to get going. Later on, they like rain all along. They don't want too much all along, but later on, they especially want this thing when things begin to ripen, because it puts a burst on that fruit upon the vine and to come on the vine as it's supposed to. Let's look at that one in James there, chapter 5 and verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Send us the rain, Lord. Anybody else sing that when they were back in the day? Oh. Send us the latter rain. Send us the rain, Lord. Send us the rain, Lord. Send us the latter rain. Oh, they'd all get the tambourines out, and they were banging away, and people were dancing up and down the aisle, you know. Holy Ghost Pentecostal type folk. Because they understood. The rain in the first place is to get things going. And in our lives, I've seen it many times, people come to Christ and they get a touch of that rain and they are excited and they're going to take the world for Jesus. And then comes the time of drought. They fall away and they don't wait with patience for what God has in store. David, did he say, yea, though I run through the valley of the shadow of death? No, as I walk day by day by day, I'm going to walk through this experience because I know that the Lord is with me. And our temptation is, Lord, I want this to get over with. This don't feel good. I don't like it. It's irritating. It's annoying. It's a disgusting. But sometimes God's trying to work something out. That only time can do. That only being patient before the Lord can manifest then within us. Lord, I don't like this. Lord, this is a mess. Lord, I hate it, but I trust you. Regardless of my circumstance, I'm going to trust you. Oh, my God, my deliverer. Test my heart, oh, Lord. I want to follow your path. Because I know that you're the light that directs my feet and where they go. I can't rely on my own understanding, and I'm definitely not wanting to rely on the understanding of the world, because we can see what a mess they're in. Why would I go there to gain understanding when they don't function in the spirit of knowledge and understanding, and wisdom, and the fear of the Lord, and the spirit of counsel, and the spirit of truth. I want to know the truth in every situation and in every circumstance. Even look at somebody that raises hay. If you need that hay early in the year, and that first cutting is going to be nice and heavy. Last year, from that point on, we had drought, 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 drought. And the second cutting was like trying to cut my hair. There wasn't much there. It needed that latter rain in order to get a better, a good, and acceptable second cutting. I was listening to somebody the other day. They were interviewing somebody from Bayfield that had an apple orchard that had been in the family for five generations. He was saying, this year we had good rain in the first part of the year, but then it kind of went slack for quite a while, and it was kind of when those apples really needed it. He said, so our apples are going to be fine, but they're going to be a little bit smaller. And in order to get the good sweetness out of them, he says, I'm going to be needing some rain to be coming on here fairly soon, and it will help the ripening process and to bring sweetness, because that comes from down in the roots. It's got to come up into the tree, and all the sugars have to be flowing, and the various saccharides and stuff. And I was thinking, as he was talking, I thought, boy, oh boy, we need that latter rain. The fruit of our life is dependent upon the work of the Holy Spirit working in, among, and through us. Because that's how God works. He works through you and you and you. And if there's no rain there, not much is going to happen. If there's no Holy Spirit there, not much is going to happen. So in the midst of my drought, as it were, is when I need to really seek the Holy Spirit. That portion of the Godhead that can minister to my inner need and bring the conviction that's necessary and open my eyes to what's going on. How many has ever been in a situation and you're trying to find counseling and you get 20 different answers? Oh, my goodness. Frustration. But the man and the woman of God that has been with Jesus for a time, you've got to get alone. Here comes another one. Get alone with God in a secret place. Wow. Sharing your burden, sharing your need, sharing your heartbreak, then he can speak to you in a way that nobody else can. This assembly needs the Holy Spirit because there's a lot of rebels. Did I say that? We got a lot of people that are saying, I want to do it my way because it feels so good. God took from the dust of the earth and he created this man. Then when he wanted to create woman, he caused his sleep to come on Adam and he took a rib out of him and he formed a woman. He put this sleep on Adam. Now she's formed and she's awake. She said, oh, look at me. I'm 25 years old. I need a man. Anybody been there? He's got this story about, I need a man. No, you don't. God took her by the hand and led her to Adam. God first. Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the water. He can still the water in your life. He can cause the waves and the wind and the turmoil to cease. That's who he is. It's what he does. It's what he specializes. God specializes in things that seem impossible. All these songs. You know, when I Spirit begins to dwell with me at night, and I'm thinking about sermons, I'm thinking about ideas, and then all these songs start coming. I wake up in the middle of the night to go into the potty or whatever, and it's like there's this song going, you know. I was like, man, I hadn't heard about that one. Thought about that for 40, 50 years. Can I get a witness? But God, by his Spirit, is moving in all the earth. Signs and wonders when God moveth. Move, O Lord, in that person over there. No, move, O Lord, in me. It's got to start here. You pick your worst enemy. Oh, moving him, Lord. He needs it really bad. Oh, boy. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And each day, it's still there. Because the temptations of the flesh, because of the works of the mind, and those things become an encumbrance to us. That's why we have to stay constantly plugged in. Boy, if you don't, the enemy comes in quickly like a flood. He's wanting to steal your joy, wanting to steal your peace, because he's the one that provides that peace that passes my understanding. It goes beyond what I can think, what I can hope, what I can understand. I don't know how he does it, but he is able to minister into the spirit part of me and the part of me that I don't even understand. And all the things that we're blinded to, it's easy to pick on somebody else's scabs. But when it comes to me, I don't have any. Yay, we are all scabby. We all have imperfections. We all have things that the Holy Spirit is trying to work out within us. And so therefore, that former rain and the latter rain, and in between there, there's other stuff going on. There's other things happening. There's life events that are taking place. And Joel talks about these four critters. Let's go to, back to chapter 1 and verse 4. Just says that that which the palmer worm has left behind hath the locust eaten, and that which the locust has left hath the cankerworm eaten, and that which the cankerworm has left hath the caterpillar eaten. Man, there's a lot of bugs and stuff going on. And I know that we sometimes feel like we're all wormed up, you know? It's like we're being pestered by these insects of life. The palmer worm is a larvae, an early instar, and instars are various stages. When I used to do stream ecology and science work and stuff, we're always dealing with instars of insects and bugs and things in the water. Most insects have five instars, meaning there's five levels of growth of the little wormy type thing, to put it simple. And what happens when they're first hatched out? They're just real tiny little buggers. But then as they start eating and chomping away, they become too big for their skin. See, insects don't have bones on the inside. Their skeleton's on the outside. They have an exoskeleton. And once they grow to a certain size, they can't grow anymore. So there's a mechanism in there where they start to grow a new skin on the inside of that shell. The shell cracks open and they pop out. Now they're a little bit bigger. And they go about, now they can eat more stuff. They can ruin more of your garden. They can eat more of your leaves, more of your buds. And they go through that process five times. But when they're first hatch out, and this is an early instar, they usually travel in groups or hordes or armies. There will be a bunch of them. And there's sometimes in our life, we feel like, there's too many of them. They're all picking on me. They're all eating of my leaves. I'm supposed to bear fruit, and these little buggers are stealing the strength out of my leaves that I'm supposed to be producing in order to take in the light. The best insecticide is just a good, heavy dose of the Holy Ghost. The insecticide of our life needs to be the Holy Ghost.
So all these little demons want to start coming and nipping and biting and sucking on us. We need the Holy Ghost. Like they used to say it, the Holy Ghost. Then we have a locust. These are like swarming grasshoppers. Just immense amounts of them. I know that in the days, even here in the States, when they would come, they would darken out the sun. There were so many of them. Hundreds upon hundreds upon millions of them at a time. And they can come down through and completely denude an area. And sometimes we feel like that. We feel like every locust that's out there has come to chew on us, and to steal from us, to take from us, and to bring me down, and try to defile me. But God is greater. God is bigger. He's greater than my circumstance. He's greater than what I'm going through right now. We have this canker worm. It's described as a licking or a sucking insect. Oh, man. You ever feel like you got the energy just sucked right out of you? Harley had some of that this week. He said, I'm going to begin to refer you to some of these phone calls and these knuckleheads and these crazies that I'm getting. It just feels, there's a certain group of insects that they have a proboscis, a pointed thing, and a mosquito goes into this category, you know, and they have this proboscis and they're able to drill it into your skin and suck out the blood. But there's others. You know those big beetles you see in the water, they're about that long and about that wide, these water beetles, and they go swimming around. That's how they get their prey. They grab them, and they poke it into this other poor little insect, and they inject an enzyme in there, and it begins to dissolve the guts of that insect, and then they suck it out like a, you know, through the straw. It's like having a bug gut molt or something. That's a great thought. And sometimes we feel like that. Lord, I'm just getting the... life sucked out of me. What's the answer? We need the Holy Ghost. We need Jesus. Then we get to this fourth critter, the caterpillar. This is a later instar now. Now they're starting to get pretty big. And I've watched them actually on a leaf, and they're just going along. And they're taking big chunks, big chunks, big chunks, big chunks. And they'll go all the way and eat that thing clear off. Then they go to another leaf, and they're just chomping away and chomping away and chomping away. Lord, I can't handle these big chunks. Let's go back to the little guys at least. Because at least they're just taking little nibbles. Now I got these other critters that are taking these big chunks, and I can't handle it. And he says, that's the place I want you to be, because you're going to come running to me. This is what we need in our life. Because the critters of life are going to attack. In the Old Testament, there's a really neat story of the high priest standing before God, and Satan comes to accuse. I think it's in Zechariah. Devil says, look at this scummy guy. Look at the filthy clothes he has on. He's not worth 2 cents. And the Lord said, bringing a brand new set of clothes and put on him. New robes, new royal robes. And set a fair mitre upon his head. That's those fancy hats, you know. Because he's been cleansed. He has been sanctified before me.
And Jesus is there as our great high priest, but also our heavenly counselor, as our heavenly attorney. And when Satan comes to accuse, Jesus says, not so fast. I did a work on the cross. And I have taken that sin that that person has had upon me. And I shed my blood to wash that away. It no longer exists. The devil will try to come and say, yeah, but remember back when? It has been cast into the sea of forgetfulness. As far as the east is from the west. Now, some of these things that I say I've repeated from before, but it needs to get in and go through. And down in. Let's go to Joel chapter 2 and verse 25. Wow. Now God is saying, I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which, what? Who sent them? God did. Oh man, God doesn't do things like that. Let's read this again. I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. Things happen sometimes to straighten us out because our rest and our dependence is relying on something else, and particularly, especially the macho men of the world. Anybody in that category? No, good. We have all perfect men here. Depending on myself and what I can do and my strength and my ability, it's all as filthy rags. I have to go to the cross where I first saw that light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. Wow. Taken us out of the category of darkness and brought us into the light, into the kingdom of his dear son. He brought me out of that miry clay. Preach songs all day. And put my feet on a rock to stay. You need to be on that rock of Jesus. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. Man, we used to, you know, in those services, a whole sermon going through the, and they're still there. I really like that song we said, to the cross that we sing. Oh, come to the altar. His arms are open wide. Do you really feel like his arms are open wide for you? I want to see a show of hands. He is there for you, brother. He's there for you, sister. His arms are open wide. And it doesn't matter what your circumstance is. It doesn't matter what your pain is, what your grief is. He took all of our pain and our grief unto himself on that cross. Can I withstand in myself? No. But with him and my sidecar, the Holy Ghost, we're going to overcome. I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten. Anybody have anything like that eaten in your life? The cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, which was his great army. He said, I can restore that stuff. Anybody feel like they need a restoration? Man, I need restoration, and it's not just like once a month or once a year, you know, and you hear some good sermon. Oh, that really touched me. I need to be restored. I better go up front. And every day, this is a daily, constant occurrence of need to rely on Jesus. Then the third part of this, in Joel chapter 2 and verses 28 and 29, Peter refers to this in the book of Acts. And it shall come to pass that in the last day, or afterward, that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. None are to be turned aside, not that all accept him, but to everyone that does, it's available. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. What are your sons going to do? What are your daughters going to do? They shall prophesy. Somebody needs to prophesy. Somebody needs to, I won't say who, but there's an evangelist that says, get up on your hind legs and do it. Yeah, it's scary. The flesh doesn't want to make a fool of itself. But it's so needful. We need to hear the prophetic word of the Lord. And if you're really out there in left field somewhere, he'll take care of it. But basically, you start out, and it's by having your vision, your thought, your understanding of faith in the right place. By faith I will speak, because the word of the Lord hath commanded it. My flesh don't like that. I want solid ground under me. I want to feel what is comfortable to me. And to begin to minister in the functions of the Holy Spirit is beyond us, see. It's beyond our comprehension. It's beyond our understanding. But you're going to move into a new realm of understanding. A new realm and function that you have not moved into before. Because the power of the Holy Ghost is what can really move upon a group of people. He is the one that brings conviction. I can't bring it. You could have the most eloquent speaker on the face of the earth. The words aren't what does it. It's by the unction and the movement of the Holy Spirit that brings conviction into every one of our lives. And then to submit to it. And to allow it to work out its way in our life. Then he said something about old men. You're going to dream dreams. I get dreams sometimes. I wonder, what in the world was that all about? You know, I think, well, that was just that cheeseburger with raw onions on it I had. You can't blame it all on pizza and other things. Sometimes God tries to speak to us in the nighttime. And your young men are going to see visions. It's hard to divide the two, because sometimes they come in the form of a dream. To see things, to comprehend things, because this is a function of the Holy Spirit. In the last days, wow, that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants, upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out of my spirit. Do we have some servants and some handmaids here this morning? The Lord is going to begin to pour out of His Spirit, but your heart has got to be open to it. No fear. I have to get one of those t-shirts. No fear. I will move. In Him I live and I move and I have my being. If you belong to that group of all flesh, then you need to be seeking. Looking unto the Lord. Because He's not done with us yet. He's not done with you yet, Frank. You know that? He's not finished until you take your last breath. You still have ministry in the way that He has provided ministry unto you. Until the time of that very last breath, you are consecrated unto Him, a living sacrifice, being available to work out the mysteries of God. Wow. Wow. Holy Spirit, we just invite you to be here, to move on us, Lord. We want to feel your presence. We want to feel you moving in and through and amongst us. We thank you, Father, for sending Jesus. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is available unto those that believe and have their faith there. By faith, we're going to see the Holy Spirit moving in our midst. We thank you in Jesus' name. I know that there's some here this morning that are really hungry. And if anybody's noticed lately, Pastor has spoken several times concerning the Holy Spirit and specifically concerning the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This needs to happen in our lives. It needs to be a functioning part of who we are. And as people of God, and if any of this is, there's so many components of what I talked about this morning, and I realize that. But if any of it has ministered to you and you're looking for a touch, I invite you to come forward. We'll pray with you. We can hold hands together. We can minister one to another as the church is supposed to do and to work these things out in our lives. Because the love of the Father looks into each one of our hearts and He sees the need that is there. And He's needing people that are willing to function in gentleness and kindness and meekness and compassion. If you're a candidate for that kind of thing, I invite you to come forward and we will pray together. And allow the Holy Spirit to work. Bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come and meet with us today, Lord. Come and meet with us, Holy Spirit. Move upon our hearts and upon our lives. We could be ministers of the presence.
Lord. If necessary, break us. Bring us to our knees.